Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have both of my brothers, Terrell Jackson and Taj Jackson.
How's it going?
Hello.
Really? That's all?
Yeah.
How's it going? And hello?
Yeah, you normally ask another question afterwards.
Okay, well, how was your week, sir?
There we go.
What's going on, you guys? Before
What's
we get
up?
To the weeks, how's everyone doing?
Doing good.
This is the perfect weather, by the way, for me.
This is good weather. I just don't want it to rain.
You have a game.
We have a game. We have a playoff game today.
Big game.
Yeah, it's huge. This
first
probably,
round playoffs?
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
this is
we're
probably,
getting to guys talk already.
Sorry, yeah, real quick. This is probably the biggest game. Besides the championship. If we win this one, we have a shot.
Wow.
And we can beat this team.
All right.
We lost to them last time by one run, but we should have won.
Okay, so this is your week. This is your week time where you get to talk about your week.
Yeah.
You're doing it right now. What seed are you guys?
We're the sixth seed.
And you're playing the?
Second seed.
How does that happen?
2-6.
How?
Well, it's a what's it called?
One place.
It's a pool. It's a pool.
Yeah.
So we're playing all. There's two divisions.
Okay.
There's the
But why wouldn't it? Usually, it's 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7.
It's a pool. It's not a tournament. Okay. It's not like single elimination. You're out.
Okay.
So we play three games and on our side. So we're gonna play the Nationals, the Orioles, and the White Sox.
All right.
There's four teams per side.
Got it.
So if we can beat this team because they're second, they're okay.
All right.
I feel like we're better.
So that's one thing we're gonna do today. We're gonna try to give some Terrell's team some
please,
spirit,
please.
Some push.
One of the issues is though, I'm my leadoff hitter went to Italy.
Okay, so what
so he's gone.
What is
he's
Coach
gone?
What is Coach Jackson doing for his team to make sure they don't lose any mojo?
I don't know. I think I might have to hit. He's actually a really good hitter. I think I'm gonna have to hit the guy that I hit last first.
Okay.
I have to go.
You know, and this is the last thing we'll say because I know this is guy baseball talk.
That's great.
Just make sure that last hitter. Just
though.
Make sure he takes strike. Take a strike.
Yeah, he's worst actually case, really good. He's only played. This is his first real. He played
season.
In fall ball. I coached him.
Okay.
In fall ball. This is his first year playing in the league.
Well,
so,
all right.
We're going to be good.
We've already,
I think we got it.
Baseball talk.
It's all right.
Good luck, Mr. Jackson.
Yes.
Taj Jackson.
Yes.
How was your week, man?
It was good. It was good. I actually ended the week, yesterday I went to the doctor, so that was not good because he got on me about my eating habits.
First of all, Taj, I want to commend you because I was actually
that sucks.
I
really
actually
good.
Meant to tell both of you guys because I actually went to the doctor, which I told you about on a phone call about a month ago. And I go to the
you
doctor
a month to basically.
Well, I forgot. But when I went, I actually thought about my older brothers to make sure you guys are going to the doctors. And so when you told me you're on your way home from the doctors, I was actually really proud of you.
Well, don't be proud. It's Tiana. She's on it. Like, she's very.
Well, and you know what? It's something that I think a lot of people we take for granted.
Yeah.
And we forget how quickly time moves.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that as we get older, we get more susceptible to illnesses and situations that if we just can be a little bit more proactive, we could prevent a lot of stuff and eventually, you know, prevent possibly serious illnesses that will affect not only ourselves but our entire families. So I'm on this proactive kick where you got to be proactive. And I've been meaning to tell you guys. So now I just got to worry about you. Get your butt to a doctor.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't just for a yeah. It's like, okay, no, I'm motivated. That's what you're supposed to say.
No, I know. It's coming.
So, all right. Well, that was my little rant. But what else was up, Taj? I'm proud. So the doctor says you got to eat better, huh?
Yeah, basically I got to eat better. I kind of have to eat what Tiana eats, which is she eats very healthy. She eats like lettuce.
So no more coffee bean every day.
I'm gonna mix it in.
Did you tell the doctor?
Yeah, I was very honest with the doctor.
That's another good thing I'm proud of you about, Taj.
The problem was I went after Tiana, so she was talking about eating lettuce and all that stuff, and then he asked me what I ate, and it just went downhill. But I don't know.
Oh, Todd, you're funny, man.
I guess when you hear it, you hear what you eat, it sounds really bad. you know, because he was like, what do you have for dinner? I'm like, waffles.
Oh my gosh.
Eggos. And he's like, no, for dinner, what do you...
Todd, you know what though?
Sounds so bad.
You know what's so crazy? You're such a smart guy. And I swear, I mean, you stay home a lot. So it's like a lot of my problems with eating is I drive past an In-N-Out or I drive past a place that looks really good. You stay home a lot. So you shouldn't have those bad temptations.
It's so just so
he brings them in.
Yeah, it's so easy to make. That's the problem. Like Eggos are so
But easy. So is like grilled chicken or something healthy.
It takes too long.
Yeah, it takes too
for
long.
Him.
Oh, come on, Todd.
Unless it could be microwaved.
See, he's a microwave kind of guy. That's awful.
All right. Well, that's how your week was, I guess. That's your time for the week. So we got one baseball game and we got one confessing about his bad diet, which I'm proud of you, though, for at least recognizing it. Like my diet's great, right?
Yeah. Make changes.
No, so you know what? I was going to tell you about my week. Well, I really don't remember much about my week as usual. Do you remember anything?
From what are you looking at me?
You always remind me what I did.
You had a bubble party.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
That looked fun.
It was. You know what was cool? I was at Sam's Club, which is like Costco. And I was going through and I saw a bubble maker for $11.97. And I'm a pretty frugal guy.
Is that the price
guy.
You're saying?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Yes. So what was the threshold, by the way?
You know, Taj, I wasn't going to get, because I knew it was only going to be one of those things that the kids use one time. Uh-huh. But the kids, they're all there and, you know, not at Sam's Club, but they're all at the house. And I was thinking, you know, I could surprise them for no reason and just be a good dad and see the happiness. And I think that's worth the $12. So when I got home, though, it got so late in the evening that I said, we'll do it tomorrow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they remembered. And then we actually had a tournament. And by the time we got back, it was late again. So there's like, but I thought we were supposed to do it today. I was like, well, we're not going to do it when it's cold outside. So we'll do it tomorrow.
So you made them wait 2 days.
I did. You know, patience is good for kids, man. They need to learn how to... It wasn't one of those things where, you know what, though? It's good for him, Terrell.
But you're breaking your promise.
That is true, and that's not good for him. But I was honest. I said, I don't want anyone getting sick, and we're just going to save it tomorrow. We have nothing to do, you know, that day, and we'll have fun. So I set it up. It took 10 AA batteries, which to me was $12 right there.
They didn't have a plug?
No plug.
AC adapter?
And I'll be honest. I mean, although the kids loved it, I knew they would. I was actually very disappointed with it. I mean, because, you know, I was hoping it. You should have saw the way it was packaged, you know? It was packaged so well where it looked like it can last a whole summer.
Uh-huh.
But not, it's not happening. But it's one of those things where they had so much fun, especially Rio was laughing and working on his stopping and running. And,
yeah, that looked fun.
Yeah, they had a good time. Oh, and that was another thing. It comes with a huge bottle of soap. You know, or whatever it is for bubbles. And the problem was, I thought that would last like the summer.
No.
I kid you not, after 2 minutes of the machines being on, I was basically out.
No.
So I was really disappointed in that. But they had a good time.
It's not about you, it's about the kids.
That's right. That is right. All right, guys. So we are live on the Power of Love radio show. If you are listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. We are going to open up our phone calls, our phone line, right now, actually. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. And if you want, you can also chime in, ask a question, contribute to the show via Twitter. Todd, you want to give the Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's at DDJ Foundation.
Perfect. And those are the letters DDJ and the word foundation. Instagram, we don't check during the show, but we do check after the show. If you want to follow us, make sure you do so at the words DD Jackson Foundation. So that's at DEEDEEJACKSON and then foundation, the word spelt out. All right, so we are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Do not rely solely on us. Although TJ gives great advice,
oh my goodness,
and his brothers are getting there, don't rely on them. Who said that?
I don't think anybody's agreeing with that.
All right. So today, you guys, we have a special guest. All of our guests are pretty special, but this is a very special one because this is actually our newest. I'm saying this like you guys don't know, but I'm telling the listeners, this is our newest board member. And I always say your name incorrectly in my head, but you told me the trick on how to say your name. So we have with us Annalise. Is that correct?
Yes, very nice.
Okay. Annalise, where are you from?
Connecticut.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we have Annalise with us. And before I'm going to ask you about what drew you to our foundation, I'm going to just give you major props because even before, basically for a lot of last year, I always saw you around. I saw you come to the Boys and Girls Club at the, you know, when we were doing our music therapy with the kids last year sessions. You were there for a lot of things, just helping and contributing. And I first want to thank you for that. And it's just awesome because this is our first foundation that we've kind of done. And our goal has always been to put a team together with people who buy in and really want to impact, you know, everyone, but, you know, kids. Yeah. And I've seen that from you from day one. So I want to thank you on behalf of my brothers and I for being such a great figure in that way.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, thank you. How are you doing today, by the way?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A little nervous?
A little bit.
Don't be nervous. Okay, so tell us about your why. Why, what drew you to the D.D. Jackson Foundation?
Well, I have siblings and they lost their father. So, and I guess the family life wasn't always the best. So I've always just wanted to inspire them to chase their dreams and not ever give up on them, no matter what the situation is that comes up in life, that you keep going until whatever it is you're looking for comes, or you make it happen. And so
really, your brother and sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these were younger?
Yeah, much younger. They're 11 and 12, and then I have a 18 and 19-year-old one. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you... I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. Okay, you know, we're going to... Because we have a special art show.
Yeah.
Coming up, but we're not... Should we talk about that now?
Yeah, we can.
Or should we go?
You brought it up.
Yeah, you can't bring up stuff.
I can't do that?
No.
Why can't I, like, tease it? Like, TV shows do that. All the news does that.
They say we have something special coming up. They don't say what it is.
We can say you can talk about it later, but...
Gotcha. Okay, so...
Didn't you go to host school?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so let's talk about...
We're here to help them out.
Let's talk about the art show.
Okay.
Real quick, and then we're going to dive back into your... I got two brothers laughing at me. I love it. So tell us about the art show coming up.
Okay, so I'm a painter, a pop artist, and some street art. And I have an art show coming up with the foundation and proceeds... Part of the proceeds are going to go to the foundation, as well as the whole entire charity piece of the event. And it's in Los Angeles, so if you're in town, be great.
So can anyone come?
Anyone can come.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's July 7th, 2017, and it's going to be at Almost Studio and Gallery, and the address is 1288 South La Brea Avenue, Los Angeles, California. But cool. It should be a really great event, and we have music and the whole wine deal and
cool.
That's
lots
cool.
of good art.
So anyone into art, or really anyone, if you're in the area or even if you have to travel in, come to this art show.
Yeah.
We should be there.
We will be there.
We will be there. And it's a good day where we're going to see some great art and we're going to be able to contribute to D.D. Jackson Foundation.
Yeah.
Perfect. So let me ask you a question. What is street art? I heard you say it's street art. So
street art is like graffiti, only sometimes they let you do it. They let you paint their walls. Yeah. So mm-hmm. there's two different styles.
That's street art.
Yeah.
Okay.
Street art is like the murals you see when you're driving down the street.
Art on the street.
Not just like a picture.
And
on
you
the
do
wall.
That.
Yeah, I do that too.
You like it?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I've been doing it for years. So
do you use mainly like air spray?
Yeah, I use spray paint. I don't really do the stickers.
Okay.
How long does that take?
You make the stencil and you can overuse the stencil a couple times. So, but it depends on how like intricate the stencil is. So.
Do you do it by?
It takes hours, honestly.
Do you do it by yourself or do you have like a team that?
I do it by myself.
What's the biggest street art you've done? Like the biggest
gap? Maybe 12 by 12, but that was in Connecticut, not here. So.
Nice.
Yeah. I have pieces up around here.
Why don't you? You look like you don't want to share with them. Oh, they're not. Okay. They're not approved.
So, yeah, what happens if someone just does something over it?
Well, and ruins it? It's like a street code. Like you can't cover up somebody's art. You know,
that's the street code.
It's like taking somebody's song and redoing it. It hurts the heart, so people don't cross that line. If they do, it comes back. So it's okay.
Yeah.
But
so you don't.
I have like one symbol that goes. I put a. There's like a. It looks like a Barbie, like the layout of the head with a crown on it, but it's not the Barbie symbol, and that's what it is. Because all the social media and everything talk about Barbie, so I have a Barbie head all around.
So is that like your logo?
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay,
is
cool.
Is this on your website as well?
Yeah.
What is your website?
Yeah.
TalkAboutBarbie.com.
Talk about Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E.
Yeah, one .com. Word, everything. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, what, Todd?
No, I'm going to look it up.
Oh, okay.
Because I just actually started painting and airbrushing.
Really? You're kidding me.
Only not for, because I'm for photography, I do a lot of I'm doing backdrops. So I'm spray painting and painting backdrops right now.
Don't laugh at him, Turo.
He's laughing at me. I'm serious.
Don't laugh at him.
Todd is good. Todd could draw.
Yeah, I was artistic.
He's artistic.
My problem with Todd's drawing is real bubbly.
Yeah, that's what it's like cartoon.
Mine's cartoon, though. It's very popular.
But his is like so bubbly. It's
I don't do the real people.
Yeah, see?
Okay, Todd, so what are you doing? You're painting?
Yeah, I'm painting right now. Right now I just painted some apple boxes. You know what apple boxes are?
Mm-mm.
They're like wooden boxes that people use for either photography or for sitting on or whatever.
Got it. You're painting over it.
I'm painting over it for
not from an artistic, but to
look. No, not that. But then that, because I wanted to start there. Mm-hmm. You know, I figured start because this is the first time I've been painting. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting with like brushes and the spray paint right now. Spray painted black one of the apple boxes, and then the other one I brushed white.
Wait a minute. So the actual apple box, you painted that.
Yeah,
but you know that's like
no. It's I said I want to start there because I'm next going to do a backdrop, like a background for the photography. But if I can handle the apple boxes, I knew that
I'm just confused. Why are you going to paint a backdrop? Why not just buy it?
Because they're about $1,000 each.
Are they?
Yeah. So a lot of photographers paint their own. You can rent them for like $200.
So where did you get your paint supplies?
I actually have to go get some more paint. I'm not
Home Depot?
Probably Home Depot. There's some other places.
Were you not going to say it?
I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like B-E-H-R or something. Yeah, Bear Paint.
That's a Home Depot brand.
Yeah, but there's one on the way home.
No, it's a paint.
That they carry it there.
They carry it at Home Depot.
Honestly, I'm looking for the cheapest paint possible, so it doesn't matter. So
you want to get? Do you know about paint, like priming and stuff?
YouTube.
Okay.
We're getting out of
this. Let me get back to
because this is my next question.
He's surprised that I'm actually taking
the
initiative.
I am.
I've been doing this recently.
The reason why I want to talk about this is because really like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I was painting, and I haven't really painted myself ever, but I found it very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I found it very relaxing, very therapeutic to the point where I was looking for things to paint, mm-hmm. you know? And I was wondering if you found it therapeutic.
I found it's artistic for me. So anything artistic for me is fun to do in that way. And so I don't know.
But therapeutic, that's what I'm asking. I don't know if it's fun. I know it's creative. I know it gets your creative juices going. I want to know if it's therapeutic for you. Like,
therapeutic to me. Like, if I had music on with it, I just like.
Do you know what I'm saying, Tara?
I know. Are you like when you were painting your kitchen cabinets?
I didn't do that. I did shelves in my garage.
Shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you escape all the chaos and you're just focused on the paint.
See, I don't like just chaos. That's a thing. There's not really chaos for me.
How did you get into art?
Yeah.
I I've been doing it my whole life, and I started in school, but when I went into college at 18, I was doing live events and festivals, and I was selling my art, and that's how I was surviving. So I just kept on. I went to school for business because the parents, of course, said the art world is not the way to go. So, but I just kept selling them, and so I just kept doing better. I did a lot down south in Asheville, North Carolina, because I did high school and college in Tennessee, so around there it was everywhere, and so eventually I came out here.
Was there an immediate connection when you were, what were you, painting, drawing?
Painting. I just remember the, like, you know, you only have so many memories of your school days, but my memories were, like, of my art teachers, and, like, when they would take one of my projects and they'd post it on the wall as, like, the example, and I was like, wow.
It made you feel good.
Yeah. So I just kept going I kept going with the arts,
I was actually, you know, and I actually, for Royal's class, I went to Open House, and he has the same teacher I had. And I'm not joking when I say this. She was still using one of my photography prints as an example.
Wow. Of what not to do.
It is a good feeling.
It feels good.
It is good. I was Sonny, like, Sonny, listen up. Yeah, she knew
exactly. Be honest. She's like, where is that painting?
But art is very therapeutic. And I'm used to music, you know, and music being therapeutic. I think all of us would agree. But actually painting and drawing is very therapeutic.
It's very known for.
How often do you paint or draw or do art? Every day, I assume.
Every day.
Hours?
At least like 35 hours a week.
This is great, by the way. I'm looking at your website.
Thank you. All my work is very bright. Like, I do my best, like, I guess because there's so many, like, my path hasn't been, my journey hasn't been the easiest, but all of my artwork is just so extremely bright. And
positive.
A lot of sparkles. And it's just like, when people look at it, I just want to be like, emotions.
As an artist, do you think, because a lot of people who had a tough upbringing or had struggles, I think that would reflect in the art, and the art would be dark.
Yeah, some of them do.
So what makes you different? Why are you, or do you read? Do you have a positive?
I mean, I've read a lot of motivational books. I think I just, like, there was no other way for me. I couldn't, like, if I was hard on myself or down on myself, it's like, you know, I look at the way I, like, do my best to treat people and everything else, and it's like, you know, Annalise, you're not that bad. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think it's somewhat of a choice, but it's not always the easiest choice to make when you've had a really rough day, but it's just, I try to live by it. I try to give out what I want to receive, or how I just, like, I feel like even at the cash register, you never know what's going on. Like, maybe they lost their parent the day before. Mm-hmm. So I do my best to just, no matter what's going on, to just
bring some positivity.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is great.
Do you find, because I know you do a lot of painting in general for your work, do you find if you're going through a really tough day or you're hit with some serious bad news, do you go to that art and get it out that way?
Well, I lost my dad this month, and I found out he was sick 3 weeks before. Mm. So both the times I found out, I was in the studio for both of the events. And, like, if for the first, like, initial hit, you know, you're in tears, and then I'm like, my brain is like, what should I do? Pack up and go home? Like, what am I going to do? Go home and take a nap because I'm sad? Or can I just, like, stay here and continue? So I feel like it's like a therapy because I continue to do my painting. And
what did you paint that day, that time? Do you remember?
I was working on my elephant piece.
So you were continuing it?
Yeah, I was just continuing it.
Is that
just
this one?
That was my thought, yeah.
That's great. Mm.
Yeah, I have a friend on RuPaul's Drag Race, so I was inspired by her.
So when you found out your father had passed, you're already painting the elephant piece, and you just finished it?
I just finished it.
Did it change the meaning?
And then I worked on one the same day, that because I put a stop sign on it, but then I put never on top and dreaming on the bottom of the, like, stop sign.
That's great.
Because, I don't know, he wasn't the bigger believer, but he kept seeing me achieve it. So it was a rocky patch. I thought that would come back later in life, but
so that painting, you, the Never Stop.
Yeah, it's kind of a reflection of the relationship.
Did you know it at that time, while you're doing it?
No, I didn't have the stop sign on it. I had, like, a lot of the pieces have a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of stuff on it, but my brain just told me to do that at the moment, so I did.
Do you guys have any questions?
No, yeah, I have a question.
I'm fascinated, though.
What is your favorite art piece that you've done?
I don't... Honestly, it's every time I'm working on my last piece, it's my favorite.
It's your favorite.
Yeah.
But you don't have one that, like, sticks out to you that... If you had to have one that represents you, your best, like, so far, this is me. I'm proud of this one the most. You don't have one?
They're like kids,
it's always
Carol. You know this answer.
It's always the one I'm working on. As in the one I have in my idea in my brain right now and I'm working on the background of, to me, that's, like, oh, my greatest one to date. Like, and if I ever have a submission for something or I'm going to talk to a gallery, I'm always like, oh, no, I can't until this one's done. This one's my best one. Like, I don't know how to put it, but it's always the one I'm working on now. And I have good pieces that, like, I'm, like, proud of, but it's always the one I'm working on now.
How about your older stuff? Do you, because, like, do you, I guess with us, with music, sometimes we hear our older stuff and some of it we're like, okay, yeah, that still stands, but then other parts sound dated in a way. Is that same thing with art in terms of, like, do you see certain older stuff that you do and you're like, ooh, I would have done this differently?
I see older stuff and I think, wow, that's not very good.
But at the time, you thought it was amazing.
At the time, it was finished, I guess, is how I put it. But yeah, that's how I feel.
Okay, question. So, as we've been saying, art could be a great therapy, all different types of art. You've been painting your whole life. We've been doing music our whole life. I'm blanking on the term, and I'm...
You gotta give us a little more.
Yeah, I know. The barrier of entry, as in how difficult it is to get into music, is quite difficult, I think. To get it to the point, and not necessarily from a financial aspect,
the critics,
but from
can be the
but even if you're just you just live on the corner and you know your dad's an accountant, I think sometimes music's tough to get into because I think as a writer, as a creator, because I think instruments, you know, you need instruments, and I think a lot of times people it's hard to be good. In people's opinion, they're like, "I'll never be good. I'm not meant for this." A lot of people, it seems like they have to be justified to be able to do music, which I'm not agreeing with. But I'm just telling you how people, at least what people say. In my opinion, painting and art is something that's easy to enter. It's like a lot of people can paint, and you know, it's open for interpretation. A lot of people. Am I making myself somewhat clear?
When you say a lot of people, you mean a lot of people can pick up a paintbrush and paint, but you don't mean a lot of people can actually paint.
Correct.
Like, but, paint.
But I think you can go to Michael's, which is an art store, get a canvas and paint. And no one's going to say, you are terrible at this, don't do it again. Or you're not, or even subconsciously in your own mind, you're not going to say, I'm terrible at this, I shouldn't do this again.
You haven't been around.
Unless you step, it depends on if you're doing it as a hobby, then, you know, there's no worries in it. But if you're like...
For a career.
If you think of yourself differently with it, and that's like your chosen path, then you go into a gallery or you go to... They tell you how it is. So.
Perfect. So I think you just told me how it is, which clarified it. I think what I'm trying to say is it's easy to have painting as a hobby versus music.
Everyone has a phone.
Everyone has a phone. Photography is something that... So my question, which I kind of escaped me, so I apologize. But how does someone get going in the painting world? Is there anything you would recommend... And I'm asking more, not from to make it a career, but I'm more from getting, you know, emotions out. And
I mean, even just like picking up a pen or a pencil and doodling, like, you never know what you'll create. If your brain says, oh, let's make a flower, then you create the flower, and everyone's flower looks different in the end. So
I have a strong flower.
You just got to do it.
A mean flower. I can draw a flat.
And so do you like listen to your inner voice when you paint? Is or like
I get these random I've dampened in the music world a little bit, but painting was always my like it was always like I guess my way of paying the bills. So it's like I couldn't transfer into one or the other, even though I have the capability. So it was just I feel like it's like my purpose. So I feel like that was just my strong point. But I just have random ideas. Like to me, you get a random quote or a random song in your head, and you're like, oh, I gotta write it down. So like I'm like, oh, I gotta write it down.
Cool. So we are here at the D.D. Jackson Foundation. We're doing our Power of Love show, and we have with us our board member, one of our board members, Annalise, and we are talking about art and paint. And real quick, you want to plug the art show again? July 7th.
July 7th.
At the Almost.
Almost Gallery and Studio.
Okay.
And the address again is 1288 South La Brea Avenue, Los Angeles, California. And it's from 7 till midnight.
7 to midnight. Okay, how does someone, is there a fee to enter?
No.
No fee to enter.
But donations are, you know, if you have extra money in your pocket, they would be greatly appreciated for the foundation.
So how does it work? Can you buy pieces there?
Yeah, I'm going to have, like, it's like, if you go to any
I have never. I don't think I've ever been to an art gallery.
Yeah.
So how does it work? There will be your art will be there and other great artists.
No, it's just mine. Okay. It's a solo show, but I don't know. There's people there that are. It's their job to sell artwork, so they will be there taking care of everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a legit art show.
He's just, it's foreign to him. He's never been to
it. Don't act like it's not foreign to you.
Yes, I have
been to.
Have you?
Yeah.
All right. You need to live. Are you, Annalise, are you okay taking phone calls?
Yeah, you need to get out and live, man.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Caller, can you turn down the radio or computer? Hello?
It's foreign to him. He's never been to.
Sorry about that. So, people, when you call, make sure your radio or computer is turned down so we don't get that feedback. But please continue to call. Phone number 323-203-0815. If you have a question for Annalise or us about art being a therapeutic method, a method for therapy, and you know what I like about it too? You could do it anytime. It's very cost effective. It's not, you know, I'm all about that now. I'm all about finding. Why are you laughing?
I thought you were saying all about cost effective.
Oh, no, thank you, Todd.
I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm all about finding ways to. It's like I can't meditate to save my life. I've tried it. I want to. But it's something about it. I think my mind's going a little too fast. And I know the purpose is to slow it down. But I found actually painting and other type of things like that to be very calming and therapeutic. And it's actually, I think, made a good difference for me.
I feel like writing, too, like a poem or an everyday journal is very therapeutic.
Do you do that?
I mean, no, it's something I try, but I have my own escapes. But yeah. I've seen it in other people where it's really handy for them to write every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I do it in my brain. Like I say all my...
Right.
My grateful thoughts.
What's been the hardest thing you've had to overcome or get through?
Well, when I moved out here, I knew nothing and nobody, and I drove across the country by myself, and I had no family to fall back on. Like, my mother was very poisoned for me, and my father was very poisoned for me, and my rest of the family was not like... They were absent, so I had to do it all on my own, but I had to know, like, coming out here that, you know, like, it's not like I knew anybody to get me into a gallery. I just had to, trust in my journey to be here.
So, Annalise, you're telling me from Connecticut?
I did high school and college in Tennessee. So
okay.
From there, I drove across the country by myself.
After college?
No,
or
did
you?
Didn't.
Okay.
I didn't finish.
How old were you?
I was 23.
So you're 23 and you decided to move to LA?
Yeah. I knew, like, I did all I could with the arts where I was.
Like, uh-huh. You wanted to go to...
I couldn't get any more known in the towns. Like, Asheville, I did Asheville, North Carolina, very artsy place for a while, but from there I had to go to one or the other, and I didn't want to do New York because I didn't want to do the colds anymore.
had you always wanted to be or go to LA as a kid? Or not really?
Not necessarily. I want to do whatever whoever I talk to, you know, voices in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to do fulfill what I'm here for. So I was just kind of like, all right, where do I go now? And
that brought you to LA.
I came to LA.
And how long ago was that?
I guess I've been here almost 5 years. Yeah.
You regret it?
Of course not.
Okay, good.
If only I have my husband and my kid and, you know, like my art.
So your husband and kid you met out here?
Yeah, I met him. Well, I created my kid out here.
Did I just say what I think I just said?
It's okay.
I met your kid. My fault. I apologize.
I love it.
You met your husband out here.
Yeah, I mean, I technically met my kid out here, too. It's okay.
My apologies. Oh, I don't know why goodness. I said that. But, yeah, you met your husband here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I could never do that, I don't think.
I mean, honestly,
you're brave, you're strong.
Yeah, it takes a lot and to not know. Like, I had the very beginning was very, like, a little bit very dark because I knew, like, before that whether they were a good friend or not, you had people you could call, but
yeah.
Everyone's...
I just think L.A. is not an easy place to go to as well.
No. It's not an easy place to survive, I'll be honest with
you. You got high expenses.
Yeah.
And I think... LA people are a little colder than normal.
Yeah,
they're not.
So, what made you not quit? Like,
I mean, I had no choice. Like in my brain, like there was no choice. What am I gonna do? Quit and go where? Go back to where? You know? So I knew that I'm either gonna make it happen, or something's gonna make it happen, or it has to happen. And every day I have to get up and do something to make it happen.
What was your artwork like that first year?
When I moved here, I got on a restaurant wall within 2 weeks.
How does that?
And my first painting sold within an hour.
How does that happen?
And it sold for $1,000, and I was just
good
like,
for you.
So I'm like, oh, it's a.
Is it like a nice confirmation? Yeah.
It was quite a sign. I knew it was in the right spot.
How does that happen? You show like a portfolio.
I have that nothing stopping me brain because I have nothing to fall back on.
Hmm.
And like my artwork's only progressed. And within 6 months, there was an art show that was out called Street Art Throwdown. And it was on Oxygen, did one season. And I got into the finals for it. That's when I started doing street art because they were like, no, you got to do street art. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll pick up the spray paint can, like, whatever it takes. So that's how that was my confirmations. I don't know. There's nothing stopping. I would literally walked into the restaurant and said, you know, like, you can get commission off my work. Will you please put it on your wall? Like, somebody was going to say yes. So
you went to a lot of different restaurants?
Actually, the first one I went in.
No way.
Yeah.
In L.A.?
In L.A.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did you mentally prepare for that, though? Like,
I mean, I've mentally prepared for my life, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you hear stories of that, it's a lot of preparing beforehand mentally, like, yeah. Saying
especially here, because you know, when I was doing high school, college in the South, regardless of what people think in their head and when they see your face, they're like, hey honey, even though they might be like, hey honey, I don't really like you, but here it's like much colder, but
yeah.
I guess my northern Connecticutness in me kind of prepared me a little bit, but people here are the kind of like, oh, I'll be there tomorrow, and nobody ever comes tonight, so...
Yeah.
All right, let's take a phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, this is Tiffany again.
Hey, Tiffany, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing good. How are y'all?
We are doing well. What you got for us, Tiffany?
I wanted to ask Annalise a question. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly.
Yes, thank you.
You are, Tiffany.
Okay, good. I wanted to ask, I know she says she's an artist, and what I wanted to ask was that the path her parents, like, did her parents support it, or was there another path that they would have wanted her to go down?
You know, my dad was, like, a self-made businessman, like, doing construction and stuff, and my mom, like, really didn't do much, to be honest. So what path? They didn't really have a path for me. They had a, you figure it out. But when I was selling, like, doing my art in college, my parents would be like, my dad, I'll never forget it. He said, you know, I'm just going to tell you now, it's stupid for you to do this. The two worst careers you can pick is to be an artist or open up a restaurant. They have the biggest fail rates. And it's like, wow, thanks for the words of encouragement. Wow. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And so I just had to, like, I had to, in my brain, I just knew, like, whatever. It's not like they're helping me out in life, so I'm going to have to do it one way or the other. I could pick up a different job, or I could do
And Tiffany, stay with us. I have a question, Annalise. So when you, because there's a lot of listeners we have, and when a kid or when someone hears that from their parent about basically I'm not going to support it or you're making a stupid choice of your career, what advice would you have for those who are going through that?
I mean, it depends. If you're under 18, which in my mother's household is very darkened, and like I was always a happy inside person, like to people, but like my mother was she did her best to destroy me. So my advice is, when you're a kid, it's a lot harder to do what you want to do, because regardless, you're there until you're 18. You can't really just escape. So when you're old enough to escape and you can go back on your in your life path of home, and if these parents are ever really did support you, if they did, like, taking their advice is different. Like, when I see people with good parents, even if just like emotionally words of encouragement, you can do it, to me that's a good parent regardless of their financial condition.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're old enough to realize where you come from, and if your parents were always supportive, then maybe their advice, they mean it from the heart. But if they weren't, then you have to do what you have to do to make yourself happy, because I always say, at the end of the day, you have to wake up with yourself, not anyone else, till the day we leave.
That's true.
So you have to make yourself the happiest you can be. So if my parents said, oh, go to school and become an accountant, and I did that, and I'd be miserable my whole life. Why? Because I have to wake up with myself, where I could, if my heart says, no, go continue the arts, then I can do that and be happy. So you have to make your own choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very good.
I love
advice.
It.
Yeah.
Tiffany, was there anything else you wanted to know or contribute?
No, I was just asking because I know my artistic pursuit is writing, and I know my father had a different artistic pursuit. That's why I wanted to get Annalise's input on it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I feel like when you do try to go another direction, like with me, like I know I could do the music, but like if it's not what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not gonna feel fulfilled. And for some reason, I always went back to the painting, so I have to continue to paint. That's my thing. Just like,
and see, my father wanted me to actually draw and paint like you do, and I have absolutely no aptitude for it. I can do a pretty good stick figure, and that's about it.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's like a teacher once said to keep writing. So you keep writing, and then eventually it'll give. And that's how I believe. Eventually it'll give.
I love it.
That's what I do.
Awesome, Tiffany. Okay. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Tiffany.
Hey, thank you.
Wait. Don't hang up. My friend Sequoia, her birthday is Monday, and she wanted a shout out. I think she tweeted it, but she doesn't know if it's going to get on the air, so you could tell her happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sequoia. Sequoia is always awesome. So we got it. Thanks, Tiffany.
All right.
All right, take
care.
Thank you. All righty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I have a question. Is there such thing as good art and bad art?
How I view the art world, because I study it. Like, I mean, I study everything about the painting world. To me, no. I see these paintings, like, of course the $100 million ones are all of dead people. But I see these paintings by these people, and I analyze it, and how do they make it? How long did this take? What did they do? And I saw, I can't even remember who it was, but I remember years ago it went for $150 million. It's huge. It's at LACMA. But it's three different tones of red. It looks like a brick with a one solid background. So to me, anybody could do it.
So time out.
I don't know.
Time out, because
some of it's really intricate.
Yeah, I know. We only have 5 minutes left, but this is something I've been actually meaning to ask you, because this is something that, and I know Taj knows where I'm coming. That's always been my issue with art. I love art. I love doing it. I love creating. I love, especially love when my kids do it. But my problem is that I see sometimes some of these pieces go for hundreds of millions of dollars, and I feel like they kicked the paint a bottle by accident on their canvas, and that's what made it. So is there a legitimate reason for these incredibly high values? I'm asking an artist, because I'm not an artist, because I don't see it. But in your opinion, I think you may have kind of answered it, but...
I think, in the end, I think so, yes, because... Picasso has some really good pieces. He has some really intricate pieces, but he also has 10-second drawings, and they all hold the same value. But in the end, like, he made himself a name that inspired so many people that I think he is worth every penny, because he continues to inspire people. So if you can bring yourself up to that level where no matter what, there's critics in all the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can bring yourself to that level where you're inspiring people and you've built your name, and it's not like it comes overnight, then
I like
it's
that.
It's worth it.
I could buy that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, because that's something that's always bothered me. But that makes sense, because you're not just buying that specific piece. You're buying what that person meant to you. Or and a lot of times, because there's some pieces that... I was going to say the particular people. Well, my favorite artist is Rembrandt, by the way. Do I have good taste?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So there's some pieces that I guess are famous pieces from famous artists. So it's like you're not just buying what you see. You're kind of buying what that symbolization means and what that whole world means.
If you can look at a painting and feel something, then to me it's worth it. If you look at the painting and you feel... If you don't feel anything, you feel like they kicked it over, then you don't need it in your life. If you look at it and you feel good, then you need it.
Oh, man. All right, cool. Taj, should we take another phone call? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just lost it, but they'll call back. The phone's been ringing. I've just been very selective. But is there any, Taj, you guys have any quick questions?
No. I love hearing about this, and I love hearing about inspiration in general, taking a craft and inspiring people. You know, and I see it in your paintings too, as
Thank
you said, you know, the bright, colorful, but, you know, I see the, because I think with an artist, you do try and project yourself into your work, whatever it is, if it's painting or if it's music, you do want the listener or the viewer to kind of have a little view in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their little world. Okay, so again, July 7th, 2017.
Yeah, we will all be there. And it's at Almost Studio and Gallery from 7 to midnight. And the address is 1288 South La Brea Avenue, Los Angeles, California. And we'd love to see everyone there.
Beautiful. Okay, we have about 2 minutes, so we'll give 1 minute for this phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, it's Ashley from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Ashley, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Doing great.
What you got for us, Ashley?
Well, I have a different kind of art that I like to do. Actually, well, I do graphic design a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Photoshop
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Taj is nodding his head pretty big over
here.
Yeah,
I forgot you can't see my nod. So. Sorry about that.
Well, yeah, so I always, well, with your Uncle Michael, I have made so many graphics of him, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
I have that, and then I also, I used to write poems, and I have one about your Uncle Michael, And if it's okay, I'd like to share it.
Sure. Is it long?
Not that long, no.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. It's called Michael's Power. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it in July of 2009. Mm-hmm. So, okay, it's called Michael's Power. Here it goes. He's gone, but still here. He's far away, but still near. He gave to the world his talent, his grace. He also gave to us his beautiful face. We saw his wisdom far beyond his years. We felt his creativity bring us to tears. Some had tried to knock him down, but they couldn't take away his crown. To heal the world was his only goal, so he gave the world his heart, his soul. His time on earth was not yet completed. However, heaven is where he was needed. Lord, the Lord has called him home to sit with him beside his throne. His new job to watch over us. To the Lord, this was a must, for he saw how much he tried, and every day how hard he cried. He decided to take his pain away, then gave it to us, you may say. But now you have to remember his love for us. He'll never surrender. He is forever in our hearts and minds, for Michael Jackson was one of a kind.
That's beautiful.
That is wonderful.
That's great.
That is very
thank you.
Well done, Ashley.
That was so
thank
good.
You.
Yeah, awesome. Do you do a lot of art? I know you said graphics design, but do you do it every day, or what's your plan with that? How often do you do that?
Well, it was my passion. I wanted to go to school for it, but I haven't been exactly able to get a job with it. And right now I don't have a computer, so it's been put on hold for a little bit, but I miss it a lot, so I really do want to get back to it.
Don't give up.
Keep, hey, we'll keep writing. Yeah, keep, that was so good.
Yeah, that was
thank amazing. You very much. I hope you liked it.
Yes, cool, Ashley. Well, thank you so much for the phone call and for the
thank
poem.
You.
It was wonderful.
You're
thank
welcome,
you.
And I love you guys.
We love you too. Yeah. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, I want to thank you, Annalise, for coming. I know it's
thanks
difficult.
For me. I was a little nervous, but it was
you
not
did fine. Was it easier
so
than
bad,
you thought?
Right?
Yeah, I knew it would be okay, but
once you get going,
yeah,
cool. But I really thank you for coming, but also thank you for being such a great board member and being so passionate
thank
with
you.
The cause.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I said in the beginning, it means a lot to us. You know, we always have to deal with a lot of different types of people, but we've always learned that the passionate ones are the ones that make a difference. So thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, so that was our show. We had with us Annalise, who is a...
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you are welcome. Who is a painter. We have a paint show coming up on July 7th at the Almost Gallery. You should know where it is by now. It's from 7 to midnight. We've said it over and over. We want to thank everyone for listening. Taj, Terrell, do you guys have anything to say?
No, thank
nope.
you. See you next week. Not see you next week, sorry. We'll be here next week.
I love you, Taj. All right, so every Wednesday, you guys, 1 to 2, make sure you check us out. And that's pretty much it. If you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to DDJF, ddjf.org, and support the foundation. Any donation amount helps us support those in need. We love you, and take care of yourself. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.